Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher, your host for Carolina Connections, here today with our producer, Reed Powell. Good morning, Reed.
Good morning, Anne. How are you?
A little chilly and damp. How are you?
The same, but it's good. We need the rain, right?
Well, yes, of course. Absolutely. I'd prefer it with snow if it's going to be in December, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's fine.
I wonder if I'm the only person in the room that prefers snow to rain.
I don't know. We should ask.
Guess it depends on where you grew up. We have a fun show today, guys. Anybody who's sitting out there thinking about their employees this holiday season, I hope you're all thinking about your employees because they worked real hard for you all year long, and everybody needs to have some nice programs in place to keep their employees excited and jazzed about working there. And everybody in the studio today has an angle that can help you come up with some creative and interesting ideas for carrots and sticks, to put it nicely, but also just real rewarding kinds of things. So I want to start by introducing today Louis Vitello, who's with Simple Steps Weight Loss. He's the creator and founder of this organization. Welcome to the studio, Louis.
Hello and good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We're awfully glad to have you here. We also have in the studio Don Daria and Paul Miller, who are the co-founders of Scoy's Wellness. Welcome.
Thank you. And yeah. I'm with you. I prefer snow if it's going to be wet in December.
Okay, good.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Snow or rain?
I'm a snow guy, but I prefer sun.
You're a snowman.
Out of all those three, yeah. Yeah.
Louis, you didn't say if you're a snowman.
I didn't know I had the privilege to answer that question. Well, I much prefer the sun. I'm a sun person.
What if you have to choose snow or rain?
I guess the rain.
Okay, good, good, good.
We well, also hail is kind of nice, too.
Oh, hail. Yeah. Paul Stone, we're glad to have you in the studio, too. Paul is the owner of the Expedia Cruise Ship Centers here in North Raleigh. Welcome, Paul.
Good morning, Ann.
And snow or rain?
I like snow and then sun.
Yes.
And skip the rain.
Okay, well, all of my Seattle friends are saying boo. Paul, I'm going to start this interview with you this morning because when I learned that Expedia had a cruise ship center in North Raleigh, I said, there's no port in North Raleigh. Can you explain to me why Expedia wants a cruise ship center in North Raleigh?
Well, we think it's actually an ideal spot. We are driving distance to 10 different ports on the East Coast.
Wow.
So there are ports in New Jersey, New York, Baltimore, Norfolk, Charleston, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Port Canaveral, Miami, and New Orleans. And all can be driven in one long day.
Especially Miami. Good Lord. That's a trip.
But when people have families and they're trying to drive and they're taking three or four people on a trip, it makes a big difference. So although there's no port out of Wilmington, we're very close to a lot of amazing places.
Well, there's a port out of Wilmington. We just need to get cruise ships to come in more often, right?
Yes.
So tell me about Expedia Cruise Ship Centers.
Well, Expedia Cruise Ship Centers, we are affiliate, of course, Expedia.com, the biggest, best name in travel. Expedia Cruise Ship Centers is a franchise that they took over in 2007. Hmm. There's nearly 200 franchises in North America, including Canada. And it's growing rapidly. The business is averaging over 20% annual growth per franchise. And we're very excited to be the first one in North Carolina.
Wow. So how does it physically work? Is this a travel office that you go to, or is this all online like Expedia is?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. First, we are a retail center. So we're located in Brennan Station in North Raleigh near Briggs.
Cool. Very cool.
And the old-fashioned travel agency has kind of pretty much gone away for the most part. But we are bringing it back. But we are backed with the technology with Expedia, the amazing prices. We can book any vacation anywhere in the world. And most importantly, you get one-on-one service with a person that you actually meet and build a relationship with over the years versus strictly an online presence or a person over the phone that you're not quite sure necessarily where they're from or.
Yeah, that relationship thing's coming back into vogue, isn't it?
We hope so.
I think it is, actually. The more I look at it, the more we're seeing people actually interacting face-to-face. I think that people want that as a value added to their purchase these days. So tell us about why you decided to buy a franchise.
Well, with any franchise, there's always a system. And the system here with Expedia Cruise Ship Center is quite remarkable. The technology behind it, the training. Since I have not run a travel agency before, the franchise really gives me the training and the knowledge to build my own business.
Good.
But the beauty of it is there's also room for creativity and entrepreneurship within the system. Mm-hmm. So we're building a center, or we built a center just a couple of months ago in North Raleigh, and we're able to go market and connect and network with people and have our travel consultants do the same, and kind of like a real estate agent. So your local real estate agent gets out in the neighborhood and gets to know people and builds a reputation. We want to do the same thing with our travel consultants so they can make an impact in the community and mostly by referrals. Once we get up and running, it's a referral-based business.
Yeah. You mentioned it's much like a startup, very entrepreneurial. In what ways?
Well, it's, you know, we have to go find our location. We have to, with the cruise industry, the startup part is, you know, the cash flow, frankly, you know, I know this is a business radio station. The cash flow is slow at the beginning because when people book vacations, they book 3 to 6 months out. Mm-hmm. And so we don't make, you know, our income doesn't, it comes in from the supplier after people have traveled. So there's a lot of startup, there's a lot of getting to know people in the neighborhood, a lot of partnership, plus all the X's and O's about building a business, about buildings, fixtures, equipment, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. So what made you want to get involved in a cruise ship?
Well, one of the passions of my life are pretty much our family and travel. Mm-hmm. And those are my family number one, travel number two. I've traveled quite a bit, but I wanted to travel more, and I wanted to have my kids see the world. And so I thought this was a great way to do both. Mm-hmm. And as I get older, I'll be able to travel more and more as the business gets mature. And I really want to expose my kids to not just cruise ships, but other places in the world that a lot of people may not even know about.
Yeah, that sounds ideal, doesn't it? I think we all want to travel more when we don't have to work as much. So tell me about the growth of your business. When did you actually open your doors? And
we opened October 1st.
Of 2014.
Of 2014.
Oh, you're brand new.
So we are a fledgling business, but the location has been very strong with us. We have people coming in literally that are, you know, just walking in the center. Mm-hmm. We've done local marketing with flyers in the neighborhood, and most of our business is done within 3 or 4 miles of the center. It really is community-based. But we also get people, national marketing from Expedia and others, that come in and look for a business, even from Virginia and Tennessee and others, that they can call in and use us, even though they don't live directly in the community. So we're able to serve people online, on the phone, and in person.
You know, it's really funny because I've been working really hard to book a group vacation for New Year's. And I was driving here today thinking, I wish I could just call somebody to just take care of this for me, because this is just, you know, it's getting a little out of hand. You know, 8 people, a dog, you know, and everybody's got all these things they want and got to have this kind of bedroom and that kind of bedroom. And then I feel like, boy, I do your job. But, you know, you probably can't take a dog on a cruise ship, can you?
No, that's why you need to find a good boarder for the cruise ship. So
you have partners for that, don't you?
Yes.
I'm sure you do. One of the things that I'm thrilled about in terms of, I've only been on a cruise once in my life, but one of the things that I think is would be really, really, really cool is the river trips. Now, do you do those as well?
Yeah, we do any place that a boat can bring people. We pretty much can connect you with that. There are river cruises now all over the world. It is the fastest growing segment of the cruise industry. Mm. There are now river cruises in Vietnam,
wow,
in China, in Russia, as well as the more popular and well-known places like the Danube and the Rhine.
Yeah.
And I hear through the grapevine there soon will be perhaps river cruises on the Mississippi in the same long ships that they have along the rivers in Europe and other parts of the world.
That's
so
very cool.
It's really fascinating. They only have usually between 200 and 300 people on a ship. It's a much different experience than a mega ship sailing the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's where I'm going next. So you and I can talk about that after we're done here. So I'm just curious how businesses can use your services to help provide spiffs for their employees.
Well, like any good business, we have gift certificates.
Uh-huh.
And these gift certificates can be used for any type of travel with us. It could be, I'm helping some folks with a weekend trip to the Dominican Republic for a group of women. It could be a reunion. But ultimately, around the holidays, it's a really nice perk. One of the things we do at our Expedia Cruise Ship Centers is we give what's called navigator notes to our team, which, you know, we encourage our team to take vacation.
Sure.
So we want them to explore even more. They've all traveled, they've all cruised, but we want them to travel more. So we encourage them instead of, you know, they're all contracts. So they're not on salary.
Okay.
So one of the things we do to encourage them is give them navigator dollars for their next trip, which is basically the same as cash, but it's towards a river cruise or a trip to the Dominican or anywhere they want to explore.
Wow. That's cool. So businesses can just call you and say, hey, we want to do something special for some of our employees this year. And that's one of the things they could do.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. That's really a great idea, I think. You're hiring?
Yes.
And so everybody who works for you is a contractor?
Yes.
That's a pretty cool deal, isn't it?
Yeah, they, at our center and all the Expedia cruise ship centers, they choose their own schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They choose when they work.
Mm-hmm.
We can't force them to work any particular schedule, but we all work together to cover when people are on a vacation, that type of thing. So they can work their own schedule. They can combine working in the center as well as socializing and network out in the community. Mm-hmm. That's ideal.
Right.
But they can also do research and talk to people on the phone at home when their kid's at home.
Sure.
So it's really ideal for people that like that flexibility but still want to go out and build a business.
Yeah, it's very cool. Any particular holiday trip tips for us?
Well, the holidays are, you know, always kind of a crazy time. I always try to remind people, remember what you're doing this for and don't get caught up in the, you know, there are challenges out there. The airports are busier. The highways are busier. People get a little stressed out, short of, having a drink before you go out, which we don't recommend, it's really about planning. So one thing is, if you haven't already done this TSA pre-check, there's a great way to get through the line, and there's a process with the airlines to get through TSA pre-check. Do not rely on online or, you know, Android, iPhone check-in singularly, because what happens if people lose their cell phones? Always have paper backup. Another thing is always, if you're traveling internationally, always have a copy of your passport in a place other than with your real passport in case of an emergency.
Okay.
And then lastly, always buy travel insurance, because your regular insurance when you're traveling overseas generally does not cover all the things that could happen and sometimes do happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we strongly encourage that.
Great. Cool. Where do people go to find out more about what you're doing?
Well, they can come to our center at Brennan Station next to Briggs on Creedmoor Road. They could call us at 919-827-0190. Or, of course, they can visit us on our website, cruiseshipcenters.com/North Raleigh.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now stick around with us if you would, please, because you may have some questions at the end of this. You just never know. We're going to take a completely different approach to how to get your employees engaged with the things that you're doing there and getting them all excited about stuff and maybe a little bit healthier too, you never know. We're going to talk with Don Daria and Paul Miller of Skoys Wellness. So tell me, guys, what is Skoys Wellness? And why don't you start, actually, Paul, by spelling Skoys Wellness for us?
Yeah, Skoys is, well, first, thank you, Anne, for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Our pleasure.
Skoys is a mashup of two words, skill and toys.
Uh-huh.
But we're a little clever at the end, so we spell it S-K-O-Y-Z. And the Z is because we're edgy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And
or at the very
or
end.
Try to be, anyway.
Yeah. And what we do basically is we use skill toys, things like juggling balls and yo-yos and flower sticks and Japanese kendama, to engage people, to use these as tools for an opportunity for physical and mental breaks, and really to, you know, re-energize the mind and the body.
Hmm. So you, let's take a business example. You'll go into a business and they'll say, we need to bring you on board because we have flabby minds.
Flabby minds. We get that call a lot. Hey, hey Paul, we have a surplus of flabby minds. We were hoping for a solution. Well, you know, as you know, if you're engaged in an organization that's growing quickly and bringing on team members at a rapid pace, people start to not really know each other and feel disconnected with their peers. And at the same time, they're a lot of times stressed with work and with, you know, cranking out code or doing, you know, meeting the demands of a growing, starting business. And, you know, if you're always operating at that high level of intensity, you're not optimized for efficiency,
mm-hmm.
and effective efficacy. And so what we do is we'll come in and we will engage teams, give them a break to play with these toys. So we'll offer some instruction and then
it's recess.
It's sort of like corporate recess. You know, if you talk to any parents, everybody says, oh, kids need recess. They need a break. They can't be sitting in the chairs all day. But
we're all just big kids, aren't we?
We're only a day older than we were yesterday.
Yeah, let's not talk about last week. So I actually ran into you guys at a CED, at the Center for, you know, no. Wrong city, the Council for Entrepreneurial Development event, their tech conference, mm-hmm. recently. And I was really surprised to see how people were interacting with you. I think that they had a really hard time understanding how something like juggling can impact their business.
Mm-hmm.
You run into this a lot, I assume.
We do. It's one way or the other, and in some cases, businesses are looking for us. We've met with a number of businesses and worked with a number of businesses that are looking for that culture,
yeah.
Piece component. As Paul was saying, as they're growing, they're losing their sense of community,
mm-hmm.
and so they're looking for that. And so for those companies, it's an easy fit. They understand what we're doing and how we can help create connection.
It's like a foosball machine, but different.
Foosball machine, but it's adaptable. You can do it individually.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're working on trying to solve this problem or writing code and you just need that mental break, you can stand up and juggle for a minute or two at your own desk. But if you see somebody down the hall working on a trick and it's something you've been working on, you can then go down and interact with them. So foosball, you need to have that other person first of all.
Yeah, I have two people, yeah.
And second of all, it's a fun outlet, but there's no actual skill development happening.
Okay.
So what Paul mentioned, kind of the
although
recess.
Although I know people who would argue with you about that.
That's true. That's true. There are skills for foosball. I've played. But the interesting thing, Paul was talking about the recess component, the fun aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
and there is that. But juggling and the other skill toys provide a really tangible tool for talking about other intangible things like problem solving, setting goals. How do you deal with feedback? Are mm-hmm. you, if something doesn't go right, are you getting frustrated and just leaving it? Or do you look at what happened, assess what's, you know, what maybe you should change for next time, make those changes, see what happens, you know? And so the problem solving that happens on an intellectual level in most of our day-to-day jobs, we can look at it in a physical way and have those conversations in a way that's not tied to day-to-day work, but can transfer to your day-to-day work.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like it's just that muscle workout that's different. You know, sometimes you'll do a different exercise than you're used to doing. Like I'm used to walking, right? So
mm-hmm.
I walk hard, I walk slow, I walk fast, I change it up, but it's still the same muscles,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you do something where suddenly you're doing a lot of sidestepping, you feel it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you maybe your brain muscle doesn't get a little more intrigued when you change it up a little bit.
Yeah, novelty definitely plays an important part in all of this. And, you know, you talk about sort of if you get into the routine of walking, you know, your body gets used to that. One of the really nice things about skill toys is there's a lot of different styles of play. When you're playing in a group of people, if you're all playing flower sticks, everybody's going to have their own style, their own set of tricks that they kind of go to that are their base tricks. Mm-hmm. And from there, they grow in their own way. So there's no one way to approach any of these toys. And so, you know, if you think of you know, kind of the muscle confusion model of fitness, you know, this is sort of skills confusion. Sometimes you're balancing, sometimes you're throwing, sometimes you're catching, sometimes you're swooping or swooshing or twirling or twisting. So it's really got a nice diversity of play that appeals to a wide range of people. And if I may just build on something that came up with the foosball, you know, one of the nice things about this style of play is foosball is a game, and it's between two people, and there's definitely skills that you're developing, but there's a winner or a loser. Mm-hmm. You know, there's sort of this game aspect to it, whereas these are just toys. There's no winning and losing, and really it's a game against gravity. It's a game against physics. Mm-hmm. And so there's no winning and losing. There's just sort of playing together, but individually.
Yeah. So we always start out, especially on the radio, we start out with something that people know and they understand, like juggling. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what juggling is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what flower sticks are. What's a flower stick?
Sure. Well, a flower stick is an interesting toy that dates back at least 400 or 500 years. It came across from the East along the Silk Road when missionaries and merchants were traveling and spreading religion and commerce. And the flower stick is it's a straight dowel about 2.5 feet long. And at the end, it's got usually some leather tassels or something. So it's a stick with these weights at the end. And then you manipulate that stick with two hand sticks. So you hold a stick about 1.5 feet or 2 feet in each hand, and you manipulate this third stick. And actually, the flower stick is one of the few flow toys or skill toys that you don't manipulate directly with your hands. You actually use another object to manipulate it. And it's a throw and catch toy. It's of a flow toy. It's always kind of moving, much like juggling, although you can do tricks that are more discreet, more stop and go, such as some of the other toys, like a kendama. Which is like a cup and a ball.
Ah, the cup ball thing.
Yeah, except it's got spikes and multiple cups and all sorts of different
play. That sounds medieval.
Well, you know, it could be a weapon in the proper, you know, if you're in a bad circus alley or something and you need to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. You've got the swinging ball. It's kind of like a mace, but
oh my gosh. So I'm just trying to figure out how you get to the point where you're able to know all these little toys and figure out how you get from, you know, I want to play with these so much that I want to spend my entire career teaching other people how to play with these toys. How do you get there?
Well, Paul.
Well, Paul wants to do it. I think Paul should answer this.
Paul actually is a full-time juggler. He's a performing comedy juggler performer. That's how he started. So he actually loves, and I'll let him talk more about his experience kind of discovering juggling and skill toys. For me, if you asked anyone that knew me prior to the last 5 years or so, if I'd ever be teaching juggling as my business, most people would be shocked and say no. But the first time I actually saw the power and the tool that juggling is, mm-hmm. Paul actually came, and I was teaching high school, and Paul came in and taught my students how to juggle. It was right before the holidays, and I was burnt out my first year teaching, and we were to get into the Renaissance. So I said, oh, it ties in loosely, come teach them how to juggle. But for me as a teacher, to see the students who I taught intellectually and abstractly learning a physical skill taught me a lot about how they learn. And so that's why it's a really powerful tool even for managers to physically see who's dealing with frustration in what ways and who needs the feedback to kind of keep going, who learns by watching, who learns by having to figure it out, who spends all the time in their head and not letting go of that and kind of feeling it. And so I learned a lot about my students, and the rest of the year I was able to teach them better because we had had that one day of juggling.
you know, it's interesting. NPR had a story this morning about math and kindergartners, or actually pre-K, I guess it actually was, and how there's a new approach to teaching math that's 100% physical, that people have to physically get involved in order to really understand. And the studies have shown that when they that more people who learn math physically graduate, and graduate sooner, and graduate with better grades, if they do it physically versus being taught traditionally. So I'm just wondering if there isn't a correlation here between physical learning and the ability to be maybe more creative and applying what you're learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny that we teach so cerebrally. That's a good word, huh? Cerebrally. You know, because we are a whole person. We are a brain wrapped in a body and coated in a soul. So to so Dawn just shakes her head. Like I'm feeling poetic.
I feel like a nutty buddy.
Yeah. let me answer you in a haiku. no, so it makes sense that we need to be engaged in learning in a physical way. And, you know, if you think about the very first learning that you did, or if you have kids and you've watched them, you know, we're born, we open our eyes and we start to look around. And the first thing after we look around, we start to do is we start to move. We start to lift our head up and move our hands. And the very first learning that we do, exploring and engaging the world, is physical. We're interacting with these invisible forces as gravity. You know, we learn to balance. And I really think that, you know, that's our source code for learning. It's this physical engagement and this idea that, you know, I mean, how is math not physical? I mean, the first thing we do is we start counting things. We're not, you know, imagining number and formulas in our heads.
Not theoretical math.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes sense that, you know, by engaging our body and giving our brain that space to process, and that sort of mental break would benefit us.
So, sorry, I was just going to add the way our brains work is when we're focused on learning something, it's a top-down process. So it is our frontal cortex that's engaged and feeding in. Versus when things become automatic, it is a top or a bottom up. It's more, it becomes automatic. It becomes more ingrained in us. So when you're walking, probably a lot of the times you don't even think about your walking. You're just kind of, it allows your mind to wander. And so as we're learning something, we go through that back and forth. And it's finding that balance between the two that actually, if you're too focused top down, you're going to need a mental break at some point and allow yourself to kind of do bottom up so that you can find those connections in your brain and find those insights. And that's where a lot of times that creative insight happens when you're going and doing something that's automatic and you're not focused on something. And again, going back to the idea that juggling these skill toys are a tool to be having those conversations and understanding that, because as you're first learning how to juggle, you're focusing and there's so many things to think about. But then once you can get the basic pattern, it's automatic and you don't have to think about it. But then there's another trick you can learn. So then you have to focus again. So you're, it's that constant back and forth that actually is what we should be doing in our day-to-day work as well, back and forth between the top down and the bottom up.
So tell me how companies can engage you as a company.
Yeah, well, we engage companies in a variety of ways. If there's a meeting, if there's a couple-day sales meeting, or if there's a play day where folks are coming together to do team building and to learn new skills and kind of continue growing as an organization, we can come in and we'll be some breakout sessions. We'll do some breakout sessions where we engage groups and teams in play, in learning how to manipulate these objects. And it's often quite nice that, you know, we don't work with the engineers in one group and we work with the marketers in another group and we work with the, you know, executive staff, leadership staff in another group. What we do is we take a little bit of everybody and put them in these groups so that people are growing as a team together, sort of horizontally, but also vertically, and really building those connections and relationships within the organization. So we'll come in and we'll do a half day or full day program working with the folks. And then after we kind of play together and engage and kind of have a foundation for how to develop and continue to grow with these tools, we'll leave them at the organization so that they can be in the lunchroom, they can be at people's desks, and they can use them to take breaks or to just kind of gather and engage informally. And then we also come in and follow that up or do individually coaching sessions. We'll come in and people will sign up for a half hour, an hour instruction on these toys. If they already have some skills, we'll kind of help them grow from there. And if they're just interested in learning something new to say, hey, look what I learned how to do at work today, and then they can go home and teach their kids or engage their family and friends, we'll do that. And then finally, we participate a lot in conferences, like a sales meeting or like the CED, other types of conferences. And we'll set up what we call invigoration stations. And we'll just basically put out, you know, 50, 60 different toys, you know, 5, 6, 7 different types of toys. And we'll engage people in play. And that's really rewarding because it's casual. It fills in the downtimes in between, you know, between lunch and the keynote or whatever's going on. And it creates a space for people to just kind of laugh together. Plato said, you learn more about a person in an hour of play than in a year of conversation. Mm-hmm. And when you see people hanging out and playing together, you really see that happen. You know, you let your guard down, and I get to know you, Anne, not as, you know, an interviewer and me as an interviewee, but just kind of a couple people that are playing and growing and experiencing something together.
Cool. Yeah. So the company that plays together stays together, right?
We're going to trademark that. Thank you. That's it right there.
You know, it's that whole messaging thing. Don, if somebody wants to ask you about coming out to the company and helping them, how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, which is skoyzwellness.com, so S-K-O-Y-Z, wellness.com. They can contact us, call us 919-604-3462, or they can email either Don at Skoyz Wellness or Paul at skoyzwellness.com.
Great. Sounds great. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
It was quite fun. All right. Now let's talk about a different kind of flab, one that I'm quite familiar with. Lewis. Lewis Vitello, please tell us about Simple Steps Weight Loss. How'd you get started?
Oh, that's perfect. Well, thank you so much. Simple Steps Weight Loss is based out of Cary, North Carolina, and was founded after my own personal experience of losing over 200 pounds.
Holy bananas. Okay, so that 40 I gotta go is like possible, right?
There you go. But the key is also I kept it off, right? Which is always the big challenge.
Yeah.
And our mission at Simple Steps is to empower individuals to create long-lasting change through real food, lifestyle, and balance by creating harmony with one's relationships, their career, their spirituality, their activity, and, of course, the foods that they choose to eat.
Okay, that's a whole lot of lotta. What you're kind of suggesting here is that it's a big picture. It's not just that diet that I have to do.
This
like,
is true.
After Christmas.
Yes, it's more than just diet and exercise, right? That's always the big question is, how did you do it? Diet and exercise? Well, if that was true, we'd all be where we are. Definitely a whole picture.
That's really interesting. So seeing as this is such a big sort of all-encompassing approach to weight loss, how do you work with companies?
Oh, that's great. It's a great question. Thank you so much for asking. Simple Steps offers a variety of services to encourage and support company wellness, such as workshops and health challenges. However, our signature service brings the health coach to the workplace. This allows employees to have direct access to holistic support, addressing their personal health and wellness concerns, such as losing weight or maybe living a healthier, overall healthier lifestyle, or even how to make healthier choices that their whole family can agree on, which is always a challenge when you have little ones at home, right?
Or a husband.
Or a husband.
or
the
or
other
anyone
way around,
at home.
Right?
No. Okay, so break this down for me. A company calls you and says what? What is it usually a company would say when they engage with you? What are they looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. When companies usually dial our number, they're looking for a way to get their employees more healthier minded, especially with the constant increase rises of health plans and health benefits. They see that their employees are often tired or they're calling out a lot. There's a lot of absenteeism. Maybe they're running late to work all the time, or they're just concerned that over the years, their long senior employees in a company that's been there for a while, they can kind of see that evolution of them from being when they were started with the company being healthy to now they're a little bit sick, they're always under the weather, that sort of thing. So they want to be able to bring somebody in to help jumpstart the overall health in the organization as a whole.
It's interesting to me because it seems like half of the way we spend our lives, well, I mean, I'm a writer and radio show producer, and, you know, I sit in a chair a lot of my life, right? So I think that for a lot of us, sitting in a chair is what we do.
That's
right?
True.
We sit in a chair, and it's our jobs that bring us to sit in that chair, right? So how can the company who's almost really responsible for creating that environment bring in someone to essentially say, get up off your butt and get moving? You know, how does that work? Is there a sort of push-me-pull-you kind of effect going on in the corporate environment?
It's kind of a two-prong approach. Right. It's easy for us as human beings to always blame our health on somebody else. Right? We kind of throw away our responsibility of our health to somebody else. So we'll blame that. Well, because we work all day,
yeah,
and we sit down all day, and we're not really active as we could be. But then we'll leave that sedentary job and then go home and watch TV for 3 or 4 hours. Right. So there's choices that can be made. So part of it is educating employees on how to take their lifestyle, whatever kind of lifestyle they live, because you might have the employee who works, lives alone and just goes to work, goes home, and that's the only decision they need to make when they're making food changes or when they're making decisions around the household. It's just them. But then you also have other individuals that have families that when they make a choice, it's affecting their whole family. So how do you create that sort of balance at home?
Mm-hmm.
But then on the employee side, to answer your question, the employer needs to encourage the employees to do to be more active, to take maybe walking breaks. You know, we allow for smoking breaks, so why not allow for walking breaks in the environment? Why not encourage employees that are sitting behind a desk or an office most of the day, which is kind of my background. I was a Microsoft engineer for quite some time, so it's very sedentary, sit in front of a computer screen, but to get up and stretch and just move. And a lot of these things you can do in just your little confined space of your cubicle. One of the things that I do, because I spend a lot of time on the phone talking to my clients, is I have a wireless phone with a headset.
Mm-hmm.
So I can walk around my office while I'm on the phone. So I can still get my work done, but I'm also being active.
Mm-hmm.
And active doesn't need to mean that you go to the gym, but just simply getting out and taking 10,000 steps a day is probably all most Americans need to live a healthy lifestyle.
It's hard to get 10,000 steps a day in. I can tell you, I get up in the morning, I walk my dog for 45 minutes. I come home from work and I walk my dog for another 45 minutes, and I still haven't hit 10,000 steps a day.
Baby steps, right? So if your goal is to...
How much more time do I have to spend walking the dog?
Is there a conversion for babies?
Right, exactly. If your goal is to reach 10,000 steps, and let's say you're averaging 5,000 steps a day, then set a goal of, for this week, I'm going to try to add another 250 steps, and then another 250 once you reach that, and just work yourself up the ladder. You don't have to look at the big picture. Set minor goals, because then that creates wins along the way. When I needed to lose 200 pounds, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to lose 200 pounds. I set the first goal of 25. Let me get to the first 25, and I'll celebrate like crazy. So it's setting reasonable goals, and as long as you keep going down that path and you're hitting all these small, minor goals, these mini goals, eventually hit the big goal and you'll hit 10,000 steps. And you'll be creative in doing it, like parking farther away, especially this time of year if you're walking around shopping. Don't park for the first spot. Park in the end of the parking lot. There's plenty of spots back there.
Yeah, so go to the mall. Do not shop at Amazon for everything.
Right, exactly. But just getting more mobile can help out a lot.
So this is the benefit of a health coach, right? Somebody who helps you realize, yeah, you need to lose it, but you don't have to try to lose it all today.
it's one of the benefits is helping to create a plan that works for an individual and their lifestyle. Most of us who want to lose weight or get healthier will end up going to Barnes & Noble, we'll pick up a book, we'll read something on the internet, or we'll end up buying into some commercialized program, spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month on little food bars and chocolate shakes. In reality, a lot of that is not sustainable. So it's not going to be a long lasting. So whenever you're ever done that said process or said program, you're going to go back and gain the weight. That's why we have all these yo-yo dieters.
Right.
What you need is something that adapts to your lifestyle, something that's easy for you to incorporate into whatever schedule that you have, from the morning you wake up to the morning you go to bed. When it's not an inconvenience and you can develop proper triggers to remind you throughout the day what you need to do, then you can sustain that.
Yeah.
That's where this whole lifestyle change happens.
Right.
It's not diet and exercise, it's a lifestyle shift.
And this is the benefit to a business.
This is a benefit to the business, is to be able to bring that to a level to the employees, to work with those employees one-on-one to develop these skills.
I can see where employees would really feel that. I would assume that also it's not just about weight loss. A lot of people actually, my sister is really skinny. She probably just needs to be healthy in other ways, right? So you do, I assume, coach on other health-related issues besides just weight loss.
That is absolutely correct. You mentioned the benefits of bringing a health coach to the workplace. I mean, poor health of a company's employees can impact critical resources that the company has and can have negative outcomes on the overall performance and the effectiveness of whatever product and service they might have. Most employees have unmanaged health concerns. You know, they might not need to lose weight, but maybe they have critical concerns like they have diabetes, or maybe they suffer from migraine headaches all day, or they have asthma attacks. Well, I mean, whatever it is, a lot of these ailments that they have are preventable with sustained healthier habits. And that's where a health coach comes in. So a health coach comes in, we work with those individuals, and we properly implement a plan to get them healthier.
Okay.
And you know, with that, the results that a company gets is that they're going to see a positive impact on not only the employee's well-being, but also their insurance rates. You know, they'll hopefully lower down and even affect the bottom line of the company.
Cool. That's really cool. So if somebody really is ready to kick off the new year, right, how do they get in touch with you?
That's fantastic. They can either visit my website, simplestepsweightloss.com. They can call at 919-341-7172, or you can simply email me by hitting contact us on the website.
Sounds cool. All right, great. Now, I have a few questions for everybody here. The most important question is, what question do you have for somebody else at the table? I saw everybody taking notes, and I don't want to leave without everybody having an opportunity to ask a question of the other people that are here. I know that there's a lot going on with things that we can offer for our employees to make a happier employer, a healthy employer. What kind of things popped into your heads?
Well, hi, this is Paul. Well, I had a question of I guess it was obvious to me, combining the two of your, the last two speakers, while you're on the phone, wireless, talking to someone, you are juggling.
Wow, I don't know if I can do all those things at one time.
And then when you're on the phone, of course, you're calling us to get away for vacation.
Exactly.
Because that is so good for your well-being and mental health.
I'm thinking that maybe a cruise where I could learn how to do this game playing and have a health coach. Man, wouldn't that be the best vacation?
All right, let's set it up.
Okay, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. You know, NPR, they always have cruises all the time with, you know, Garrison Keillor and stuff. We can have an Ann Revel Petra cruise.
I'm in.
You in? You in?
Yeah, I'm in.
Definitely. But Paul, to your point, we need to get creative about those low intensity activities, as we were just talking about. And so juggling is just one of many, walking around while you're on their headset. I know for me, you know, I love the idea of walking meetings, but if I don't have the right sneakers or if it's a hot day, you're going to come back to work and sit at your desk, you know. So having other options, and the more options we can have, I think the happier and healthier people are going to be.
Yeah. And it you know, Lewis mentioned, you know, it takes a lifestyle shift. It doesn't have to be drastic. You know, you don't have to go from sitting at your desk and watching TV every night to joining a high intensity kind of program, which is probably going to be, you know, potentially hazardous to your health if you're not in shape. You know,
speaking from experience.
Then we have to bring the doctors in, right?
Right. That you need physical therapists, and it takes a village. But that lifestyle shift can be as small as implementing, you know, learning to juggle or playing with your kids, you know, duck, duck, goose, or whatever. You know, if you just start engaging your body in a new way, in a healthy way, where you're active, it becomes something you want to do. And you know, I talk to thousands of people that, oh, I've always wanted to learn how to juggle. It's like, well, great. You know, you have two arms. You can do it. Even if you have one arm, you can do it. Like there's no limits. So you have this opportunity to learn this thing that you're excited about. And then once you start to learn it, it really propels that personal transformation, which, you know, if your goal is weight loss, you know, if you're starting to learn and grow in this particular way, you might start watching your diet because you're like, oh, I want to be able to juggle better or you know, It carries over. Once you get excited about this personal transformation and shifting your lifestyle in a way that's positive and growthful.
Growthful. Good word.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Vocabulary.
Yeah. I just make up words until I hit one that actually is a real one. But just to the pedometer, you know, 5,000 steps is a lot. 10,000 is really hard. We have found that juggling with the pedometer on your wrist will trick it out. Yeah, so if you're looking to bump up your numbers.
The one on the belt works better.
Yeah.
No, I think... if I can just chime in here and just sort of edify, most of the challenges that I see when I talk to individuals and clients is they have a work and home life imbalance. They're not stopping to play when they should stop and play. They're not taking proper vacations because they're afraid of work. So they just live a life of work. And work doesn't stop from the 9 to 5. A lot of us have responsibilities when we get home, and that's also work. So we go from work to work. We don't take the time to pick up a toy
and
to enjoy ourselves, or we don't take time to separate. I'm an avid cruiser. I love to cruise. And the reason why is because cell phones don't work. There's no email. There's no communication. It really forces you to unplug. And the first time that you experience this, it might seem kind of uneasy. You know, you might be a little bit scared I might be missing email. I might be missing a client, especially if you're a business owner.
Little anxiety there.
Yeah, little
it's
anxiety.
Okay, we have Xanax you can take on the cruise ship.
What is this, 1980? What? No.
But here's the thing, just to wrap this all up, though. After you take that said vacation, you're probably going to come back. Your mind's going to be a lot clearer, and you'll be a lot more productive from just taking that small break or taking the time to stop and play or putting your health first than you would if you didn't otherwise.
Well, there you have it. That sounds like the biggest reason that everybody should go out and buy gift certificates for cruises for the people who win the lottery at the office, and hire your people to teach you to play again, and bring in people to help you get yourself healthy. So it sounds like a great resolution for the end of 2014. What do you think, Reed? Oh, Reed's got to get back onto his mic.
That sounds like a great resolution. Yep.
Yeah, I think Reed's all into this.
I'd love to take a cruise and juggle and learn more about
that. Well, okay then. I think we'll do it all. Okay, great. This was a fabulous show, you guys. Thanks all for being on the air today. And everybody, you can download these files from the web, of course, at carolinaconnections.businessradiox.com. And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Betcher.